This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Massachusetts lawmakers finally reached an agreement on the state's almost $42 billion budget today. They're 17 days late, making Massachusetts the last state in the nation to finalize its budget. So what was the holdup? Well, it had to do with immigration. WBUR reporter Steve Brown joins us now with more from the State House. Hello there, Steve.
Hi there, Meghna.
Also with us is WBUR reporter Shannon Dooling. She covers immigration. Hi there, Shannon.
Hi, Meghna.
All right, Steve, so let's start with you. Immigration as an obstacle to a state budget. What exactly was going on?
Well, the Senate had added some amendments to the budget way back in May aimed at immigration. Specifically, they would have prevented law enforcement from asking people about their immigration status, would have prevented collaboration between local law enforcement and federal immigration authorities, and it would have barred state resources from being used to create a registry based on ethnicity, religion, country of origin, and other criteria. Now, the House didn't have that language. When the conference committee report came out this morning, that language was gone.
Okay, gone entirely. So obviously there was great disagreement over it. I mean, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, Speaker Robert DeLeo had said a couple of weeks ago that there just wasn't support for this language in the House. Now, you know, the House tends to be a little bit more conservative than the Senate, and this type of sanctuary city amendment was probably going to be a hard sell over in the House. Now, that put House Ways and Means Chairman Jeff Sanchez, who has backed sanctuary city legislation, in the unenviable position of having to defend the House position opposing the language. Here's what he said when I asked him if he was disappointed that it wasn't included.
I am a sponsor of that language. I've been a full supporter of it. At the same time, I am the chairman of Ways and Means, and it's up to me to make sure that I try and find consensus as much as I can. And when it came to those provisions, none of us could find consensus.
Huh. Well, that, though, had to elicit some strong reaction from other legislators, Steve. I mean, I'm thinking particularly in the Senate, right?
Oh, it sure did. Just a little while ago, I caught up with Senator Jamie Eldridge, who sponsored the amendment.
These are basic due process civil rights protections. And the fact that at a time when families have been separated at the border, at a time when families are being separated in Massachusetts, that we couldn't do the bare minimum for immigrant families across Massachusetts is deeply, deeply disappointing.
So obviously some strong disagreement there between legislators about, whether or not the state budget should have included this language that really had to do with, as you said, the so-called Safe Communities Act. So Shannon, let me turn to you then,
yeah.
Because as this debate was going on, the Center for Immigration Studies, it's a right-wing policy group that does advocate for stricter immigration. They released data that's reported to be from the Boston Field Office for ICE. I mean, tell us more about that.
They did. So last Friday, actually, I got a press release from them. And essentially, they wrote this release around an ICE snapshot of data that's reported to be from the Boston Field Office. And basically, it presented numbers that were really designed to illustrate sort of worst case scenarios that, according to ICE, can play out when state and local agencies don't fully cooperate with ICE detainer requests. We've heard a lot about these detainer requests. It's when ICE asks law enforcement to hold someone based on their immigration status, right? So this report was designed to show that ICE's job has been made more difficult here in Massachusetts since the Supreme Judicial Court's Lund decision, which basically said law enforcement in the state can't honor these ICE requests. It also mentioned that, you know, certain communities have these sanctuary policies that are making their job more difficult at ICE. Interestingly, though, we tried to confirm the report independently with ICE, but the agency declined to comment on the report. We also know that the report was presented to a bipartisan group of legislators at the end of May in a meeting that was convened by Republican State Senator Ryan Fatman. So I'm told by Senator Fatman's office that this was sort of a informal Q&A where ICE was made available to answer questions about how sanctuary policies might impact ICE enforcement in the state.
Okay. So yeah. This is absolutely intriguing because now, I mean, as Steve was telling us, the amendments that Senator Jamie Eldridge had put in the budget that would have prevented local law enforcement from doing things like honoring ICE detainers, that's out of the budget now. So do we know if this bipartisan meeting with ICE had any effect on that?
It's a very fair and intriguing question. What I've been told by supporters of Eldridge's amendment on Beacon Hill is that as Steve alluded to, the House leadership has really been against this amendment from day one, and that nothing really could have swayed them into a consensus. So, you know, I'm also told that Representative Jeff Sanchez, who we heard from earlier, chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, has not reviewed this ICE report. So he himself never saw it. So I think it's safe to say that the issue's been entrenched for some time. And whether this ICE report changed any minds, I mean, that's tough to say at this point.
Okay. But this is a wrinkle in this ongoing debate on Beacon Hill. Well,
yeah.
Steve, I mean, back to you. Is the fact that these immigration policies are not in the budget, is that a win for Governor Baker? Because now he doesn't have to issue a line item veto.
I think it is a win for the governor. He, of course, has spoken out against sanctuary city legislation. But had this language remained in the budget, this really would have put him on the spot. He would likely have vetoed it, giving whoever his Democratic opponent is this November something tangible to point to as a campaign issue. Now, he doesn't have to deal with that, and we can all just speculate what the governor would have done had it made it to his desk. It won't make it to his desk, so now it's a moot point.
Huh. Well, Shannon, though, on the other hand, there must be some pretty strong reaction from the community, from immigration advocates.
Yeah, there sure is. I spoke with a few of the leading immigrant rights advocacy groups, and they tell me they feel sort of cheated on this one. I mean, they've been pushing really hard. They've been lobbying hard. They've been showing up for protests at the State House. A few weeks ago, I was there where there was this crush of people outside of the governor's office chanting, you know, if he vetoes this, vote him out. Let's hear from Ava Malona, who heads up the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition.
It's really disappointing for the communities and for many families who will suffer and will continue to live in fear and not report crimes.
And, you know, some advocates are talking about the politics of it all, too. Here's Patricia Montes with Centro Presente, which is another immigrants' rights advocacy group.
The Massachusetts State House have been in the past decade, have been in the hands of the Democratic Party. However, nothing is happening, no changes. So that is a very clear message that they are sending to the immigrant community.
So Montes told me that, you know, maybe it's a time where we think about shaking things up in the Democratic legislature.
Meaning what?
Meaning she's going to, you know, have some conversations with her with her group members. You know, one of their roles at Centro Presente is to help naturalize citizens and get out the vote. So who knows what we'll see.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so Steve, back to you there on Beacon Hill, because we are talking about an almost $42 billion budget. We had this long-term impasse over it. I mean, how has that delay affected, you know, lawmakers' ability to move on other bills still pending on Beacon Hill?
Well, it's kind of awkward. The budget really sucks the oxygen out of this building. Pretty much every major bill up here has to be reviewed by the Ways and Means Committee. And when the members and staff are tied up with the budget, they don't have time to go through those other major pieces of legislation, which are all kind of stacked up here. And we're expecting a major rush over the next 2 weeks as they try to get through these and get some of these bills past the finish line.
Okay. And are lawmakers going to vote on this budget soon?
I would anticipate that will be happening today. The House has already voted overwhelmingly to approve it, to accept it. The Senate is pretty much a pro forma vote, so it's safe to say that the budget without the immigration language will be on the governor's desk by the end of the day today.
Okay, and we should note, I mean, we've been focusing on the immigration impasse, but it is an almost $42 billion budget, tons of other provisions in it, more spending for mental health resources, things like that. So while immigration is taking up sort of the focus here, there are probably lots of other constituents, coalitions out there, Steve, that are pretty happy with what they see.
Yeah, you know, there's all sorts of things. There's no amazing new programs or initiatives in this budget. It's primarily a maintenance budget. But as you say, there's money for mental health services, health care for the poor, some K through 12 funding. There's some additional funding because of some of that extra money that they found a couple of weeks ago. That's in there. So all in all, those folks are happy.
Mm. Well, WBUR State House reporter Steve Brown there. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thanks, Magda.
And also a strong thanks to WBUR's immigration reporter, Shannon Dooling. Shannon, thank you.
You're welcome.